I like to say that I was raised in Berkeley, California, by a pair of pot-smoking hippies. This is factually true, but it gives the wrong impression. Tie-dyed shirts, Birkenstocks, unwashed hair, co-ops, free love. Berkeley in the 60s, basically. The identity to which the city still so desperately clings. This creates an easy shorthand for a childhood lived outside the norm. But the abnormal aspects of my childhood can't be summarized by such a cliché. We lived in a Craftsman in North Berkeley on a busy two-level street bisected by the Hayward Fault Line. You could walk a couple blocks, down a secretive, sun-dappled path, beyond the fence that neighborhood kids had and a united act of delinquency covered with discarded bits of bubblegum, to nearby Solano Avenue. There was a small movie theater with a vintage marquee, a progressive bookstore, and a wide array of ethnic restaurants, as some graying white hippies would imperiously call them. It was small-town living in a not-so-small town, one that trumpeted its liberal politics and famous history of war protests, and above all, embraced the giddy spectacle of people doing their own thing. Like Pinkman, a guy who donned a head-to-toe hot pink bodysuit and silver cape and rode around town on a unicycle. Berserkly, I called it, smiling proudly. Across the sparkling blue-green bay was San Francisco, or the city, which I understood as a kid to be kooky in its own way. Although all I really knew early on was Pier 39, with its kitschy souvenir shops and stinky, raucous sea lions, essentially, the opening credits to Full House. Despite the setting, my childhood wasn't organic greens and whole grains. It was Lay's potato chips and party packs of Pepperidge Farm cookies, see, pot-smoking hippies. My mom had brought her Midwest roots with her to the crunchy Bay Area, so we didn't go to farmers markets, join a co-op, or grow vegetables in our garden. We didn't even compost. Instead, we bought Coca-Cola by the case and went to Disney on Ice. My parents rebelled in other ways, though, like the pot and my last name, Clark-Flory. It was what so many people did in their milieu at the time, which paved the way for plenty of jokes about a future Berkeley populace full of double and triple hyphenates. It's such a small thing, that hyphen, but it represented the kind of partnership that they wanted to have, emphatically, sometimes inconveniently, equal. My mom ran her own graphic design business in San Francisco and woke while it was still dark out in an attempt to beat traffic across the bridge. That meant my dad, a programmer at a Berkeley tech startup, got me ready for school in the mornings when I was little. He supervised toothbrushing, poured my bowl of cereal, and combed out my long, massive hair. A rat's nest, as he called it, often developed overnight, and he would take me out onto our sunlit porch so that he could delicately pick at it with a comb, whistling to himself while French braiding my hair. A skill he had picked up from some moms on the playground during his paternity leave. Even in our sensitive, liberal climate, my dad was unusual for a man. In my mom's circle of predominantly queer women friends, I would hear things like, "He's a special guy, your dad." He was stereotypically masculine. Deep, booming voice, copious body hair, towering stature, but quick to tear up at little things, like a thoughtful gesture or a dramatic movie scene. During college, he had trained to become a peer counselor as an extracurricular activity and went through emotional workshops where, as he put it in his characteristically confident and unselfconscious way, I got really good at crying. Right on up until puberty, I spent every Sunday afternoon adventuring with him, rock climbing, windsurfing, skateboarding, hitting balls at the batting cages. It was our version of church, the objects of worship being nature, sun, and sweat. Sometimes he brought me to a sprawling park in the Berkeley Hills, where we climbed through a creek looking for water skippers, threw whistling frisbees on the grass, and picked blackberries from gnarled thickets. My tan, scrawny legs were often caked in dried flecks of mud, my feet slipping and squishing in soaking wet keds. In those days, time with my dad always carried the thrill of possibility. We were going to go do things in the world, things that made me burst through the front door with an exciting proclamation. I threw a frisbee. Look how many blackberries we got. I scraped my knee, but I'm okay.